This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
About. So easy. You got to put it into perspective.
I get it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
I'm not against making money, Al. But you guys, you're never satisfied. You come in here and you dilute the sound. You oversell the commercial time. You put on spots whether they fit or not. And in the end, you negate everything that was good in the first place.
I want you all to be aware of what's involved here. This isn't a prank. If it doesn't work out, it'll mean your jobs. Probably even your careers.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
And now.
But only 72% are as diligent in the rear.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 16th of August.
What's up, you guys?
Just living.
Living large?
Yeah.
You? This is probably the only time we'll mention this today, but I have to ask, just since we're not on the air yet. Mm-hmm. Today is the 40th anniversary of the death of the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. And I know that many of our listeners may not know or care about Elvis, but I heard this morning that it is the largest crowd ever in Graceland for a death anniversary this year. Why do you suppose that would be?
It's the 45th?
40th.
40th.
Hmm.
Huh.
How could Elvis be as popular in 2017 as he was in 2007 or in 1997 or in 1987?
I don't know. I'm not a guy that goes to that place where they died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's where he's buried, too. I mean,
buried,
people are walking by his grave.
Fine. Yeah. Still, I don't get that.
Yeah, right. I think you'd have to go to his toilet. That's where he died.
But I mean,
I'd take that tour.
Yeah, you would.
Elvis's music is so old now that it has long been off of oldies stations. It's not played anymore. I don't feel like it's in the pop culture. You don't hear about Elvis anymore like you used to. There aren't nearly as many references in movies and TV and whatnot. How is he still so popular? What's keeping that going?
You know, I'm not the person to answer that because...
Yeah, I don't know either. Just
no interest.
Just surprised. I mean, I'm a fan, and as you know, Kevin, I've been to Graceland multiple times.
Sure.
So I know why I just love him, but I just am so surprised in 2017 it's as popular as it is. So, all right. This is a great, great story to get us started before we get going on the show. And Allie, I'm sure you saw this because it's from your old workplace KTLA, the video that went viral this week.
I didn't then.
Oh, you're going to love it so much. Who's the pretty lady who anchors the morning show there now? Do we know? Do we know what her name is, who works with Chris Schauble?
Oh, that's Megan Henderson.
She's adorable. And she's the only one trying to keep this crew on track when they start getting into a story that they find so funny that they can't go on. And anyone who's ever been behind a microphone has had that moment where you just can't go on because you're laughing so hard.
Yeah.
And this show, the KTLA morning show, is already a little loosey-goosey anyway. But here's where it goes off the rails.
A sticky situation at an airport in Tennessee after baggage was sprayed with raw sewage.
Sprayed?
I know. Check it out. Happened
check
at the Nashville
out.
Airport.
Well, listen to that guy. Check it out. I don't want to see the tape.
Well, this is the airport.
Okay.
Picture it, if you will. Water and sewage from a clogged toilet leaked to the floor onto a conveyor carrying passenger luggage.
Henry's been in here again. By the way,
what?
So Chris saying Henry the weatherman has been in here.
Does he drink?
Chris, he should.
Chris is very jolly in this tape. But yeah, he's making the joke that the weatherman went in and clogged up the bathroom. But
right. Listen
to the joy about people's luggage getting sprayed with sewage. Like, I would hear that and my reaction would not be that it was hilarious. My reaction would be just horror that had happened to somebody.
It'd be both for me.
But they find it so funny.
The airport says the tainted baggage was sanitized before being loaded onto planes and the passenger was not exposed.
How do you sanitize
exactly?
Yeah. Hose it off.
Apparently, this is the second time it's happened at the Nashville airport. What? Some travelers say they just couldn't believe it.
Oh, no, I'd be... Oh, there'd be some backlash on that. I mean, accidents happen, but that's a big accident.
Oh, that's disgusting. I would never want that to happen to my bags.
Now, they didn't show what the question was that was being asked of the passengers who were in the baggage area.
It was
of that
clearly
airport.
Something easy like, would you like your luggage covered in urine? Would you be okay with that? Yeah.
That's what I can't understand, how
like,
that's at all useful to the story. So, you for or against your luggage being dipped in poop? Like, what does that contribute to the story?
Yes or no on poop luggage?
It's just, that's ridiculous, right?
That happened twice. Henry, you flew into Nashville a couple of times.
Southwest, the airline affected by the leak, says they're going to replace some of the more soiled bags.
Oh, my gosh.
The rest of you who just have a little soil, you're on your own. The 10 flights were delayed. The airport is promising to change the layout of the bathroom so it never happens again.
Well, soil is one of those words. There's no way to say it. It just sounds like chunky moisture.
Oh, okay. Now it's getting...
Henry.
All right.
Do we need chunky moisture?
Yes, we do.
We're hungry.
Is that what we're adding to the story?
Henry used to find great joy in the fact that moisture... Or moist is my least favorite word. I worked with Henry in Salt Lake City as well as KTLA.
Oh, so he knows
he that. He has harassed me with moisture and moist for 2 decades.
We have a bunch of listeners who are also super annoyed by that word. Somehow that just turns them off crazy.
When he say monsoonal moisture,
sure.
He's just done. He's so happy.
So he was picturing you when he was talking about this
picturing
story?
Picturing everyone that hates that word. Which
it
is
does
everybody.
Sound like it was a shout out just to you, right?
Chunky moisture.
Oh!
It's the two words.
Yeah.
Corn. How'd that get on my bag?
Okay, now that is where I feel like Chris went too far.
No way! Did not.
That was the funniest line.
He is laughing so hard.
Too far.
I swear he forgets that he's on television at that point.
Here's the thing with Chris, Megan, and Henry. They're very much worth watching because that's them. They know when to turn it off and be funny. Mm-hmm. And they know when to turn it off and be serious.
Right.
Turn it on and be serious. This is a stupid, fun story. This is where they shine being funny.
Yes.
Corn, that's the best line.
I mean, honestly, that's the funniest line right there.
It is hilarious, but would you ever expect to see that on TV? I wouldn't.
KTLA,
I don't know.
Yes.
That's what they do, all right?
Yeah. Corn, how'd that get on my bag?
Okay, too far. Oh, my God. Here's the deal. Just wait. This just it. We're on TV.
Heads
there
up.
There are people watching. We're not in a private area. Just FYI. Oh, my gosh.
So Megan is doing the very best she can to try to get that show on. Anderson Cooper, right. You thought that was funny,
Anderson
too?
Anderson loves it.
He does.
Thought it was hilarious.
All right.
That was...
Sorry.
Okay.
Anderson, we're on TV.
Come on, pull it together.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
It was Corn. We know. It was funny.
Come on, Bean.
Corn was the highlight.
It was funny. It was just a surprise to me.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If I didn't know better, I would swear you were on drugs.
Your credit card was declined, and it was embarrassing. That's happened to all of us, I assume. Kenya Barris is going to be on the program today, the creator of Black-ish.
By the way, I don't know how much you know about Mr. Barris. What a career this dude has. It's crazy.
I know The Gong Show.
That's Chuck Barris.
So I know that.
Guy.
What?
Yeah. Oh. He co-created America's Next Top Model, for starters, but he's also the guy behind this Girls Trip movie that's in theaters right now.
Yeah,
he's having a hell
right.
of a 2017.
No, no kidding.
He's living his best life.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but kids can skip a lunch line if they pay enough money. That's a fantastic idea, right?
Oh, man. Oh, no.
From The Bachelor in Paradise, we have Bobby and Danielle in studio. Very excited about that. We got the Wheel of Bad Animal voices because it is Wednesday.
Do you call Robbie Bobby?
Did I say Bobby?
I heard Robbie.
Oh, okay. Chip and I heard Bobby.
It's very possible. I said,
it's Bobby!
The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because it's Wednesday, and Bean will continue to try and whip us into a frenzy over eclipse fever.
It's happening.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
That means it's time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Well, good news for Bond fans. It's official. Last night on the Stephen Colbert Show, Daniel Craig confirmed that he indeed will be back for another go-round as 007 James Bond from Her Majesty's Secret Service. License to Kill. Your vagina. Right?
Sure.
Yep. See, a real broadcaster got that news out of him. Too bad other people weren't talking to him yesterday in an interview.
Here's the thing.
Get that breaking story that
we did
swept the international press.
We did interview him yesterday, but he also talked to a bunch of other radio stations and denied that he had been signed yet on those radio stations. And then last night announced that he was going to be the Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So we avoided that pitfall, Ralph, by not asking.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Because we're
better.
Nope.
We didn't let him spread his lies on our air, is what Kevin said.
Exactly.
Nope.
No. Okay.
So James Bond will be Daniel Craig for one more go-around. He has sort of said that this will be his last turn as James Bond, but that he's looking forward to it. He's excited, as we all are. Imagine how much money equals excited.
Yeah.
Whatever that translation
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
I don't know what the exchange rate is these days for excited to dollars, but...
What did he make last time? Like $30 million or something?
Something like that.
Ridiculous number?
Some nutty number like that, but many of us are happy because he's, you know... You don't want Carrot Top or something taking over the role, right?
No, you don't.
That would not have been good.
He was the front runner.
Right? I know. Yeah. At Ladbrokes. That's the... never mind.
Yeah, it's the famous British betting program. We know.
Sure. No, a lot of people don't know, Bean. Don't assume, because there's people staring at me.
It's the famous British...
Do you mean me?
Blondie over here is looking at me like she's hearing a dog whistle. Something's going on.
My ears did go off.
Yeah, she's got her head cocked to the side. She's waiting on a treat. She has no idea what's going on. Ladbrokes Alley is right. The place in the UK where you can bet on almost anything, and they usually release their odds for whatever pop culture event is happening. You can usually lay down a wager on that.
And it's named that because when you bet a lot, you become a broke lad. Ladbrokes, no? Okay.
Speaking of wagering, Justin Bieber was talking to TMZ this week, and he said that his buddy Floyd Mayweather probably won't be able to knock out Conor McGregor when they rumble later this month.
Yeah, because he doesn't fight.
Thanks a lot, pal. Thanks for being my friend, my buddy. You really feel that way? Lie. Say, yeah, oh, my friend Floyd's going to knock him out in the first round.
He does usually walk into the ring with him, so that is odd.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's that fight?
26th, yeah.
You guys in?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, nope. Sure.
Still, huh?
Come on, Allie, how do you out. Not?
I'm way out.
How do you not?
Possibly care less. Floyd Mayweather is trash.
He is trash, agreed.
Yes, he's awful.
Conor McGregor is only doing this for money.
Right,
right.
What as a human do you gain from this? It's not going to be a good fight.
It's just the spectacle of it.
Nah.
Nope. Look.
Nope.
Look.
Nope.
It's possible it's going to be a good fight. If Conor McGregor can get one punch in, it changes everything.
Plus, these guys are both enormously skilled.
Mm-hmm.
So worst case scenario is it's going to be an interesting fight. It's not like you got two tomato cans in there who are just going to be just look awful. These guys are both really skilled fighters. So let's say it's not whatever outcome you expect. I think you're going to see a pretty good example of a prize fight.
I want to watch a domestic abuser, I'll watch the NFL. That's just how I feel.
Oh, my Lord. Floyd Mayweather is unbeaten.
Oh. Yeah.
That's sort of a phenomenon in this day and age. Regardless of what you say about his style, whatever you say about him personally, it's kind of a unique situation.
He's 49-0. So
to
that's
see a guy
crazy.
Like that fight, it's
amazing.
Rare. I guess Allie's in now. I get the sense she's in.
Yeah.
Now I get
changed
the sense she's
changed my
in.
Mind.
Now she's.
He's also 40, by the way. Does that impact your ability to enjoy watching him fight?
Oh, does that mean you're in, Bean?
No, I'm not in.
Okay.
He's not a Bean 40, though. You know what I'm saying? He's a Floyd 40. It's a big difference.
Or is it that he's 40 that makes it more interesting and more competitive for you guys because Conor McGregor is 29? So you think that evens it up a little bit since one's obviously a professional boxer, the other one isn't. Maybe Conor McGregor gets the age.
I feel like I don't think it evens it up, but I think it shifts the needle a little bit.
You're making our point, Bean.
I'm out.
Okay. Well, how are you out? You just explained why it's even more interesting.
I'm trying to understand the appeal of it.
So you're out. You're not going to watch.
I'm not going to watch. I'm interested to read about it afterwards.
That's the way to see a fight. Reading. That's the way to truly enjoy a sporting event. It's to read words about it.
That's how he experiences everything.
I'm not interested in paying to see that. I don't think there's nothing at stake here.
I wish I could see it today.
It's a meaningless event.
Yes,
meaningless.
As far as a belt, as far as anyone winning a belt or whatever.
But the belts are meaningless. The belts are more meaningless than fights are.
No, that's not true. Because
it's absolutely true. You know how many belts there are in boxing?
Right, but
in boxing, no.
Aren't there three?
Three. There's like eight different belts.
Are there? Okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying no belt is on the line. It's just the spectacle of those two fighting. I love it. I wish I could watch it today.
It's a money grab is all it is. That's it.
They can have my
meaningless
money.
Otherwise.
Let me break a little news to you about professional sports. It's all a money grab.
What? I don't know if you were watching Kimmel last night.
The NFL, I don't know. They just announced NFL giving away free tickets and free television exposure this year. You can just watch it for nothing. They're not interested in money, the NFL.
And this is a fighter, Kevin, you've done nothing
but
make fun of and mock for years, yet you're willing to give him your $100.
I want him to get knocked out. I would like to see that. That would make me very happy.
And
it's probably not going to happen.
Probably not, but it's completely possible that it could.
Yes.
That's the part that hooks you in.
Because Conor McGregor can do that with one punch. So maybe.
All right.
I
hope
so
everybody who gets it enjoys it.
No, I'll read about it later.
I want it to be good. Will they put it out in Braille?
I just hope if Conor does get that one punch in and knocks him out, that he doesn't become insufferable. I just don't want that from him.
Wow.
Jeez.
Allie.
Why are you two against fun?
Because it's Bean and She Bean.
Why is that happening?
It's part of their charter.
Like
it's
that
part of the charter
fun.
Of the club they started.
And how many people are in that club?
The He-Man, He-Woman Haters Fun Club. Just two people in that club. It's a very small clubhouse.
We're elite. Really.
One just calls into the clubhouse, so it's really just an old photo mat that they got on the cheap. Today's celebrity birthdays: Kathy Lee Gifford is 60. Gifford is 64 years old today. James Cameron turns 63. Madonna is 59 years old. Timothy Hutton, very talented actor. He was so good in all those American Crime stories
out
there on ABC. 57 years old. Steve Carell is 55.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
It's true, Steve. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
So the deal is that a lot of schools are broke these days, right?
Right.
Just don't have enough tax money to do things the way they want to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And they are turning to some unusual ways to try to raise some more money. There's a school in Florida, in Lakeland, Florida, called the Lawton Childs Middle Academy. And they came up with a bunch of different ways to raise money. One of them, for instance, this is going to sound familiar. You can get your name featured on the website for $50. Okay. You can get your there's a business sponsorship on the website. You can get your company logo put on the school's website, for instance, for money.
Okay.
So those are some of the ways they're trying to raise money. And then mm-hmm. they came up with a third idea that maybe didn't land as well as they hoped. You will be surprised by this one.
So today, some parents in Florida claiming classism in the cafeteria. A letter went home saying if parents sent in extra money, their student could move to the front of the line. And it turns out even the school principal wasn't aware of it.
You've got those who can pay and those who can't.
Getting ready for school is already daunting.
I flip through, fill it out, next one, fill it out, next one, read it, and went, that's not okay.
So when this Florida father found a form suggesting students could skip the lunch line for a price, he was furious.
Hey, my dad has more money than you. I get to eat first. You have to wait.
Taking to Facebook, other parents at the middle school were also offended, and so was the principal.
This definitely hits home for me, and I'm very upset it happened.
Brian Andrews says he strives to include every child.
Nobody's a second-class citizen here.
It's about just respecting people's at all levels.
So that guy should make more money, right? Is that what we're saying?
I don't think that's
not the takeaway mm-hmm. here at all.
What?
But rich people do get hungry. I knew that. So so what do you do with this? So it looks like there's enough blowback that I don't think they're going to go through with this plan. But who at a school system would think that was a good idea?
I don't know.
And how is the principal out of the loop?
How is he not aware it came from the school?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always looking for creative ways to raise funds. I think it was brainstorming on their part. Unfortunately, it should have been approved by me, he says. It did not pass by my desk. Well, let's find out what the latest is on this story, because we asked Dave if he could line up that principal from the school in Lakeland, Florida, Brian Andrews, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening in the background there?
Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing. It's just we're here at the cafeteria. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead in. All right, go ahead in. Yeah. I'm just monitoring the entrance to the cafeteria, that's all.
Monitoring the entrance?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody get to go into the cafeteria for lunch?
More or less.
What do you mean by that?
Some kids get to go in a little sooner than other kids. Hold on. You're not on the list. Back of the line. Look at you dressed like that. You think you're getting in here?
Wait, Brian, you sound like a bouncer at a club.
I don't know what you're talking about. What else you got?
You have a list, and then you send them to the back of the line because they weren't dressed right?
Listen, there's different kinds of kids, okay?
Right.
There's regular kids.
Right.
They can eat lunch, too. It's not a problem.
Uh-huh.
And then we got our VIP program. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. There shouldn't
Very
be...
Very important prepubescent.
But these are kids in middle school. They already have enough insecurities. I don't think you want to separate them by how much money their parents make.
This isn't about insecurity. This isn't about social status. It's about cash. Okay?
Right, but it just makes those little kids feel bad. Right, when
Brenda, we got bottle service over that table. I told you. I need you-hoos ever all around for that table. Get on it. Come on. Time is money.
It sounds like you have a DJ in there, too.
Well, we like to give them a nice atmosphere, you know, to enjoy themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. More chicken tenders for Danny. Danny needs tenders. Dad's so rich.
I just am confused by this. They're just little kids.
Are you confused by this? Listen, this is the job of a school is to teach kids the way the world works, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is how they learn. This is how the world works. You get a good job, you get some money, you get nice things. Your dad's a plumber, you get nothing. Nothing, okay? Hold a second. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, please turn your attention to the tetherball pole. Gina.
No.
Look out, fellas. She's a seventh grader.
Come on.
I got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. K-Rock.
Hey, could I get a little of that echo? Kevin, do you have that button? You can give me a little echo.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... Ready? Is it time?
I had it on.
I know, but I didn't know. I didn't want to say it if you weren't ready.
But
okay,
I had it on.
Okay, turn it off and then pause. Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's People. No, you didn't have it on now that time.
Oh, I didn't realize you wanted it then. Okay, try it again.
This one more gets old.
Just one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... No, not yet.
Okay,
you wait till the pause.
Sorry,
and
bad.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's People.
Better known as, what the hell is this guy talking about? He called the Afro line, I don't know, 20 times?
Oh. He had a lot on his mind.
Over time, though, 20 times.
I mean, it was all pretty much at one time.
Oh.
So, over the course of a year, though.
No. I'm saying, like, in a day. So he would call, and then it would cut him off, and then he would call back and continue. He has a lot to say.
Okay. How much time do you get per call before it cuts you off, you think?
I think you get 3 minutes. Yeah. I edited this down so that we could at least handle it. It's about a minute per call, and there's three of them.
Okay.
I didn't change the content, did he? I just edited it for shortness. But this is one dude, and tell me what the hell he's talking about.
Oh, hello.
By the way, I like that. Oh, I didn't realize you were there. Hello. Hey, there's someone here to talk to.
Oh. Hello. Sometimes buffoons that you come in contact with can have power over you. There's a thing in L.A., they're hipster doofuses.
Tell me when you want to stop and come in.
Hipster doofuses, they're buffoons. This might be a little tangential, a little bit convoluted, but I think I have a very good point. One time I was in West L.A., to get a Starbucks coffee, which I don't even drink coffee. But my friend, I, you know, went there and I bought like $8 cup of coffee, which I just thought, wow, these people are really stupid. They're paying $8 for a cup of coffee.
Says the guy who just paid $8 for a cup of coffee.
That's perplexing.
Now, I just said I never drink coffee.
Right.
But my friend did. he sought out coffee that was like, I think he said the most he ever spent was like $1.50. Anyway, I'm old. People don't still have kids when you're middle age. Pavarotti had a kid, I think, when he was like 73. You know, so men are pretty gifted in that way. They can have kids when they're 99 years old. Anyway, I'm digressing, as I said I would.
Okay, let me stop.
But you come across...
So he has... Okay, so then it ended.
Oh, that was the end of that one. Okay.
Yeah, hung up on him, yeah.
So he's just a scatterbrain, right? Like, everything he says reminds him of something else that he then also has to say. So
yes.
It's a monologue that never ends. There's right. So many jumping off points in the through line.
Although, occasionally, he will get back to the West Hollywood Starbucks.
I need to know how he liked the coffee.
Right?
Does he get to that?
Occasionally, he'll call back.
Anyhow.
He calls back and starts with anyhow. Because the phone cut him off.
I'm continuing my... commentary.
I see.
There's an actress. She's a very beautiful actress. I like her. Her name is... She's from South Africa. Charlize Theron, I believe. Just probably about the most gorgeous woman you ever encounter in your life.
Agreed.
And he's
sometimes,
making sense.
Right?
Making perfect sense.
Right.
They were really, really beautiful women, but in this particular Arrested Development...
Okay, right there. And just in case you miss it, now he's pivoted to her in Arrested Development.
Okay.
Yeah, she was that British lady or something for half a season. But what's weird is that he brings up Charlize Theron as if it's his discovery.
Right.
Like, she hasn't been one of the most famous women in the world for the last 20 years.
Right.
And is an Academy Award winner. Like, we know who Charlize Theron is, but for whatever reason, she seems to be new to him.
She played, she's an excellent actress.
Right.
Because she played a really beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. I digress, as I said I would.
Right.
I'm at the Starbucks in West Hollywood.
Yes, oh, here we go. Back to Starbucks in West Hollywood. Here we go. All right, an update.
I hadn't actually been to West Hollywood.
Nope.
And I just lost a lot of weight.
Okay, so now we're already off the Starbucks in West Hollywood. Now we're talking about his weight problem.
Hmm. About 3 months ago, I weighed about 255. As of today, I weigh 220.
Congratulations.
Now... I called a friend who's an idiot, who is probably a narcissist. Well, at the very least, I can hope that he's just a narcissist.
Right.
But I think it might be a sociopath.
Okay, so
then... Oh, no! Oh, again. No!
And by the way, that's his friend!
Who's an idiot, yes. Narcissist, possibly sociopath.
Right, that's his friend. He describes his friend that
okay.
way.
By the way, what a cliffhanger, though, to have to call on that.
Right? So then he...
I've got to know what happened.
So then he realizes that he got cut off, so he calls back immediately.
As I continue, now you think, boy, this guy's really droning on.
Right.
And if you have no patience, no, that's not on me.
All right, so if you're bored by this,
right,
it's on
that's
us.
On you.
Right,
yeah.
He's doing his part.
Sometimes you have to have patience.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
People that are like younger, like young people that are even, in their 20s, I think, wow, they're 20. They should know something. But they're really dumb people now. I didn't realize there was a guy who made a movie. I think it was like the guy who made King of the Hill and made a movie, but it was about a guy who ends up in the future, and he's okay, and then I guess a hooker ends up in the future with him, and they're actually the smartest people in this place, and I think it's supposed to be United States, like 500 years in the future,
right.
And some people are just ignorant, and it's really not their fault.
Okay. Oh, man.
So is Idiocracy new to him again?
Idiocracy's new to him, but what about the sociopath?
Right?
Yes. And the coffee.
What?
And
how was the coffee in West Hollywood?
A lot of loose ends here, kids.
How do you lose 30 pounds?
Right?
Right?
I got like 15 more. I can bring in some more tomorrow if you want.
I don't hate it.
Okay, we'll do that.
The easiest.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Allie, I'm not going to lie. You look good this morning.
Oh, Bean, that is very kind. Thank you.
I feel like you were up late last night prepping as much as you could because you have a very big day. Today is the day that could change the rest of your life.
Yeah, I have a big date today, you guys.
You have a date?
Big date.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, my dentist is saying it's an appointment, but we know what he means.
That's just semantics,
yeah,
really.
We know what he means.
You have an appointment at your dentist.
Appointment, date, whatever. Yeah.
So, for folks who don't know,
is work going to get done on your teeth?
Well, indeed. If all goes well.
Right. There'll be
some whitening?
A couple of weeks ago. Kevin!
What? I'm talking about her teeth!
A couple of weeks ago, Allie just exploded on Instagram. She could not contain her enthusiasm and excitement because she went to the dentist. And what, the old guy you were expecting to see had retired, right?
Yeah, he had retired and he brought in this younger, quite handsome dentist. Mm-hmm. And he has an Instagram page and I asked to take a picture of him as well. I said, listen, I need to post this because we had had a conversation on the show. When you're in that dentist chair, do you look at your dentist? Do
Never.
You look away? Do you close your eyes? Those were the options.
The answers were look away or close your eyes.
Yeah.
Those were the answers across
Absolutely.
The board.
Absolutely.
Right.
Never be creepy and look at them. And right. I was like, that's changed since this dentist.
So
I
you
am
were staring
staring
deep into those eyes while he was taking a look at your mouth. And you were delighted as you walked out and got the news that you had a cavity, so you'd have to come back, right?
First cavity in 2 decades.
Oh,
I was
you're
like,
so
yes!
Lucky.
So awesome.
Lucky.
And even better. It's a cavity in between two teeth,
okay.
So he has to do like a crown or something.
That's not good.
No, it's good because here's the thing. It's going to take hours because they do that in office.
I
they
see.
Make whatever the crown thing is to put, I assume they put it on being a crown. So you wait there while they mold it.
Right.
And obviously we'll be chatting the whole time. He probably doesn't have
at
other.
Lunch.
He doesn't have other
He probably will have a lot of other appointments
no, so we'll
or
just
dates
sit there
as you call them.
Really get to know each other. So
I have a question, and I don't know if we have any dentists that are listening to this show, but I would love it if you could call or text in real quick at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sure anybody that's attractive, male or female, is going to get hit on in the course of a workday, right? It's just as human nature. That's the opportunity you have. Is this
sure.
is the person I met? I'm going to ask this person now. Is it automatically uncool to ask your dentist out or to try to initiate something personal with your dentist because of the relationship between a doctor and a patient, does it violate some sort of medical trust or something to go out with a patient if he's a doctor? And is it inappropriate for you as a patient to be interested in dating your doctor or dentist?
I will sign away any HIPAA rules, laws, anything, really.
Because I'm wondering if it's a different kind of relationship than, the air conditioning repair man is hot. I think I'd like to date him. I mean, I don't see any conflict there, but for some reason
in my mind.
It's a great
example, though. Most air conditioning guys are super hot.
But I'm just saying, in my mind, I'm wondering if it's an automatic no-no to express interest in a medical professional if it's somebody who's treating you as a patient. That's what I don't know.
I assume that there's no law against a patient, starting that conversation. But I would imagine that it's against the dentist's rules.
I would think so.
To start that.
Yeah.
Except for if you're staring deeply into her eyes for 2.5 hours.
Right.
Hopefully 3.
How can he resist?
Nobody has ever wanted to spend more time at a dentist.
At the end of this appointment, I'm going to say, let's do more x-rays because I've been eating a lot of candy in the last 2 weeks. Might have another cavity. Let's do
Allie,
this.
Have you given some thought to what you're going to wear today? And I ask because you're kind of laying down in the dentist chair while he's working on you. So maybe something with a missing top button, perhaps?
Bean, I like where your head's at. Yeah, it's got to be something angle-wise that is
shows
attractive.
Off your best assets.
Yeah, because you don't want to wear something that you're like, it's tight, and then you're just laying there and you're not comfortable.
Right.
But there should be something angle-wise from his eye view down.
To like something to
like entertain
a,
him.
A V-neck type of thing.
Right.
I like it.
I guess this is disturbing.
I could send you this music so you can put it on your phone.
Oh, dear.
And then all of a sudden it just,
right?
I'll call, and this will be your ringtone.
Okay. But then immediately hang up.
Right, hang
and
on.
And then call back.
Okay.
And this is the next ringtone.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so 2 calls.
Uh-huh.
About 30 seconds apart.
Yeah.
And then
like
it's on.
and then pony. I mean, I feel like that seals the deal once you have that. Yeah.
So I have to call out three times.
Three times, Kevin. Sorry. Okay. I know you're very busy.
But then hang up on that one.
Yeah.
And then call back.
Uh-huh.
Right? All right. I'll help you out.
By the way,
what do you think he would do if that happened?
I would be awesome. So mortified, first of all, if I was him. Women at his office, listen.
I'm not so kidding. I will do that.
I know you would. I guarantee they're listening right now and they're like, holy crap, now it's become concerning. And I agree.
Are they going to cancel your dentist appointment?
They better not. I've got a facial, got waxed. I'm ready. You never know. You never know.
What?
Same,
for a dental
Kevin.
Appointment?
I think you know.
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
K-Rock. We think Wednesdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Wheelo.
Right?
Nope. Yeah.
Nope. Right? Pain, suffering, and misery.
Wheel, oh, bad animal voices.
Same thing. Same exact thing.
You are wrong, sir. Here are the stories that are on the wheel today. The car-stealing, joy-riding, pooping bear. Skylar, the dog surfing champion. Mr. Jingles, the iguana that bit a cyclist.
Come on.
The dog elected mayor of a small Kentucky town. The murderous lizard that killed 3,000 turkeys.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Wow. How is that even possible?
He's murderous.
Yes, but how did he kill so many birds? Semi-automatic gun?
Right?
Assault rifle, I guess?
Yeah.
And Uncle Fatty, the fat monkey released into the wild after a dramatic weight loss.
Oh.
So he went from not to hot?
Yes.
Apparently
so.
Uncle Fatty, not to hot?
Right, exactly. So those are on the wheel. Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin that wheel. What kind of animal was it that killed all the turkeys?
I'm sorry, that felt weak. Let me do it again.
What was the animal that killed all the
what
turkeys?
It was
the murderous lizard.
Yeah, lizard.
All right. I think I'm hoping for that one then.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's the dog elected mayor of a small Kentucky town.
Yay!
All right.
I'll allow it.
How great is that? Here's the news.
When you ride into Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, you're thrust back in time. Porches, still hangouts for young guys to talk girls.
Tuesday broke up. Another guy.
Every town, no matter how small, needs a leader.
That's crazy.
And after a rough election, this spot on the banks of the Ohio has one.
She's very outgoing.
She's really nice.
She has the best smile that I've ever seen.
There's always inappropriate licking going on.
Right?
Wait, what?
It's a pit bull.
You heard her.
Well, that's interesting.
It's funny.
What is this?
This treat-loving, woods-exploring good girl is Mayor Brenneth Paltrow.
Okay.
You heard enough?
I've got another minute of audio here, Bean, if you like.
I can't with this guy.
It's Brenneth Paltrow.
That's the dog's name?
Yes.
Brenneth?
Amazing.
Brenneth.
That's not a name.
Well, it's like Brindle, I assume.
Oh, my God. I hate everything about this story.
You don't. It has as a mayor. What's wrong with you?
I do love dogs, though.
Right.
So I guess we asked Dave to line somebody up at the general store there in Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, to tell us more about this mayor who is a dog. I'm not sure who's on the line, but let's just say hello and welcome that person to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fine. Who's this, please?
My name is Brenneth Paltrow, okay?
Oh, you're the mayor.
I am the best mayor that this little town has ever had, okay?
Is it true that you have been elected mayor now 4 times in a row, Brenneth?
Huge turnout for me.
Mm-hmm.
So many voters.
Right.
Over and over again, they keep bringing me back because I am the best mayor that they've ever seen. The best smile. You heard it. A lot of people are saying I have the best smile.
Are a lot of people saying that?
It was in that little piece of tape that you played.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I am going to make Kentucky great again.
Okay. Are you sure you won those elections and there wasn't some voter fraud?
No, there's no fraud.
Oh,
no fraud.
None whatsoever.
I see.
I won the general election in Rabbit Hash.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Were you worried
about
it?
I'm going to fulfill my obligation. I'm going to build a wall and keep all the cats out. We're going to get a travel ban against cats.
Wow.
No more cats in Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Okay.
Now, that's a shame. How many people in that city have cats? Is that going to be a problem?
It will be a problem. Mm-hmm. But listen, the cats are all murderers and rapists, okay? And
I don't think there's any evidence to support that.
We need to keep them from coming in.
I don't think that's true at all.
And I know there's a little problem between the dogs and the cats. On both sides, there were some problems on both sides. The dogs and the cats were fighting.
Right. You sure?
And I'm going to repeal medical care in Rabbit Hash, Kentucky.
People need medical care.
Which is easy to do because it's Kentucky, so there's not a lot of medical care anyway.
Oh, I see.
I'm just going to repeal it, and and maybe they'll lose their last tooth. I don't know, but I can't worry about that.
Wow, you're not saying very complimentary things about your own constituents, Mr. Mayor.
I love the uneducated, okay? That's right. All I got to say. There's a ton of them here. God bless it.
Are there a lot of problems in a town like Rabbit Hash, or is it pretty easy living for folks there?
So many problems. Who knew? Who knew there could be so many problems in Rabbit Hash?
I mean, probably a lot of people.
Nobody knew.
Okay.
Nobody knew. I didn't know until I got into this office that there could be so many problems in Rabbit Hash. First of all, what is Rabbit Hash? Is it hash made out of rabbits? Is it hash that you feed rabbits? Nobody knows. It's confusing.
It is confusing. It is a little confusing.
I'm going to appoint someone, an investigator, to get to the bottom of it to find out what the hell Rabbit Hash is.
Okay, that's a good start, I think, yeah.
So you're going to build a wall to keep the cats out.
And I'm going to grab the rabbits by the hash, by the way. Because you can do that when you're a star. They let you. You can just grab their hash.
I see, okay.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock.
Must cleanse us. Fire must cleanse us. Fire must cleanse us.
But not before Robbie and Danielle get in here from the Biff, right?
Hell no, certainly Danielle.
Looking forward to that.
Have her do my nails.
Are they, she's big in the nail salon world. Yeah, are they here yet, Ralph? Have we seen them?
Not that I know of. I don't believe they're here yet. Right. I think they're on VIP time.
Okay. Very excited to be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Well, as you know, it was on this day, 40 years ago, that we lost the king. Elvis Presley passed away.
The king is gone. The king is gone. Long may he reign.
I like it. I enjoy rock and roll. A lot of people like it. A lot of people don't. As long as it lasts, as long as it sells, I'll continue doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still selling, Elvis. This is spectacular. If you wanted to show up at the candlelight vigil that always happens outside Elvis's house every year on the night and day of his death.
Right.
This year, you had to cough up the Graceland admission fee of $28.75.
Really?
Yep. Couldn't just show up with your candle outside the Graceland gates and mourn the loss of your hero.
So you had to pay to stand outside?
Pony up, bitch.
But they gave you, like, a candle and some commemorative piece or
something. Well, you do get access to the Graceland Entertainment Complex.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was, like, on the street outside. You could just look at it.
It's all part of it. Well, now, I don't know if you've seen it recently, but they've developed that whole area now.
Oh.
They've got an entertainment complex on both sides of the street and the house itself.
So they basically put a gate around what used to be the public space in front of Graceland.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And if you wanted to pay your respects, you also had to pay $28.75.
Wow.
Which I say good on them, because those people should just go the F home, first of all. And if you want to show up and be a dumbass, then you got to pay.
Bean mentioned earlier today, there are more people this year than ever before.
Then, get that.
Good. Then more money for Lisa Marie, or whoever's cleaning up the paychecks.
Yeah, she's still part owner.
So fire must cleanse us?
Fire must cleanse us. 40 years later, if you're showing up at a dead guy's house with a candle, that's crazy person behavior.
Yeah, that does seem way weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care who loved you the most. I don't care who was your favorite person ever. Kevin, let's say you got a brother, right? You got a brother?
Yes, I do have a brother.
Who loves you?
Yes.
Your brother loves you.
Yes.
Every day on your birthday, he shows up and stands outside your house with a candle. For 40 years. Wouldn't you tell him to, at one point, go the F home?
Yeah, I think I would, yeah.
Right? Yeah. These people didn't even know this guy.
Probably long before the 40th year.
If you're going to make Elvis's death about you somehow, if you're going to turn it all around and make it about you and your candle, then yes, you should have to pay $28.75 for the privilege of being a nutter.
Bean, you would go, right?
Oh, of course he has. Many times, I'm sure.
I have been.
Broadcasting from there now.
I have. I might be, for all you know.
Yep.
I have been on several years. I've gone to Graceland on this day. Yes, I have done that.
On the
I've
day.
Never been. I've never been the guy who stands out there and holds the candle up, but I have enjoyed seeing the,
yes, you're
crying. The ceremony.
Looking at those guys.
The ceremony.
Your tears would extinguish the candle. What's wrong with you?
I get it. I get it.
You get what?
I get how.
You get why they do it?
Yeah, I do. Huh. I get how it's an opportunity to pay tribute for somebody who has meant a great deal to you. And it's easy to scoff at that because, oh, it's just a singer. You didn't know him. It's not a family member or something. But Elvis Presley is really important to a lot of people.
Right.
But we're saying
I get it.
40.
It can be important to you. Look, I know about fandom. I'm a lunatic for the Batman TV series and Adam West, right? My personal hero. Huge, huge fan. More than most people.
More certainly. Than anyone, probably.
Probably. And I carry that with me, and it's something that I enjoy, and it's important to me. But now that he's passed, I won't go to his home in any way.
And stand out in front with a candle?
In any way, shape, or form, and try to associate that with my affection or the importance that he played in my life.
I understand that. I think that's a legitimate point of view.
Then why did you go there and do that?
Well, I'm saying it's not a universal point of view, but I can certainly respect people who don't take it to that level, but I also don't have any problem with the people who do. I think there's room for all kinds of fandom and all kinds of ways to display it.
But how does that act in any way enhance your affection for someone that meant a lot to you? So the other 364 days out of the year, Elvis doesn't mean as much?
No, it's not that. But I think for a lot of people, I think it's the opportunity to come together with like-minded fans that you may not know or may not see on a regular basis and kind of just be in a group environment where everybody's kind of on the same page and feeling the same thing and kind of, you know, kind of supporting each other.
A little camaraderie with your
yeah,
people.
A little okay. camaraderie. That's
40
all.
Years later.
40 seems odd yeah. that it's still happening this late, but the thing that gets me is bigger audiences and participants than ever before. Aren't these people dying off?
That's what I started.
There's no shortage of crazy, though, Allie.
That is
Allie's
true.
Crazy's forever. We have
but
to remember
I feel
that.
Like, right. I feel like, Ralph, where's the next generation of Elvis Presley fans yeah. who don't grow up hearing that music on the radio or seeing his
dude,
movies
dude, we've
TV
been through two generations of Elvis fans, and the numbers are still enormous.
I mean, it's miraculous. It really is.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Miraculous.
I mean, it is. The fact that an entertainer can have that long a tail on his career after he's been dead.
Yeah, Elvis had a tail.
Who knew that?
I did not know that.
I see? Neither today no. if I knew that.
That's
yeah.
a deep, deep fact about Elvis.
And that is why I'm such a fan.
I know. I can see it. I get it. Yeah, anyway.
Good times.
Good times.
The beard is here, Ralph.
Oh, is it? In all its
yeah.
glory?
It's a phenomenal beard, isn't
Robbie's,
it?
Robbie's a good-looking fella. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And okay. your girlfriend, too.
Yeah, Danielle's...
They're both here.
Yeah. I got a lot of questions, as you can imagine, about the Bachelor in Paradise
sure.
crew. First and foremost, I want to hear the secret origin of Robbie's hair. I want to know where how that came about. How did it start? How does he do it? What's the procedure? Are there levers and pulleys involved? I need to know. I got a lot of deep
questions. Well, we're debuting the Bachelor in Paradise contestants tell all coming up right after the top of the hour.
Oh, I look forward to that. Today's celebrity birthday, Kathy Lee Gifford is 64 years old today. James Cameron turns 63. Madonna is 59 years old today. Timothy Hutton turns 57. Steve Carell turns 55.
It has come to my attention that some people here think that the use of drugs is something to laugh about.
Yes, they do. And I found out just before I walked in here, apparently Dave let me down on the birthday list.
Oh.
But Julie Newmar, TV's Catwoman, also celebrates a birthday today.
All right.
I don't know how old she is, but I wanted to give her a happy birthday, as you know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock. LMNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-R-O-Q.
We had two nights of Bachelor in Paradise returning on ABC this week, but that's not enough for us. We need to extend it into today, ladies and gentlemen, by welcoming contestants from the current season for Bachelor in Paradise. Robbie and Danielle are here on K-Rock right now.
And Danielle, we didn't really get to see you yet in Bachelor in Paradise. They teased you a little bit last night in the coming attractions, you and attorney Jack Stone inviting people to an orgy. I did see that little part.
Yeah, it was quite an intro.
Yes. And so you weren't there, when all the chaos was happening the first couple weeks there.
I was Paradise. Yeah, I was physically present in Mexico. I just wasn't at the house with everyone. Yeah, it was an interesting story. I was stuck in a hotel for a couple days.
And then, Robbie, you probably know because you were right there in the middle of it all. What did they do with you guys when they evacuated you from the set? Where did they put you?
They didn't immediately evacuate us. We actually had a few down days on site.
Oh, you're kidding. With no crew and no cameras and stuff?
No crew walking around, no wires everywhere, no cameras or anything.
Did you guys just tell you? How much did you know?
Yeah, what did they tell
you? Nothing. They're so vague. Yeah. If you know one thing about the agency is that they're so vague.
And the agency.
The agency. What's that? Like,
accept their contracts.
What's going on? Yeah.
Sounds like a government operation. No, the agency.
Exactly. You don't know anything that's going on.
So usually in the lack of hard facts, though, speculation and rumors take over. So were you guys, you guys were completely in the dark. Were you just imagining, well, this is the end. Anytime now they're going to come in and just send us home and the season's over?
I think when I had talked to a couple of the executive producers, they were trying to find the silver lining throughout the situation, but most of them thought that it wasn't going to resume because you're on such a short schedule.
Right.
And once you pass a certain amount of time, you just don't have a lot left for filming. And so we all thought it was over for the most part.
So this season you shot in 3 days?
Yeah.
They kept them up 24 hours a day and just kept rolling.
We probably averaged like 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night.
Oh, is that right? Oh
my gosh. Is that the norm on the Bachelor and Bachelorette series as well, or do you guys get more sleep on the show?
Not as often, I feel like.
Yeah.
Some nights did go long, especially rose ceremony nights.
You do see sometimes in the post interviews, the sun is rising as they interview people outside
all
the house. So.
In the exit interviews.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to relax and make it a vacation and have fun down there? Because, you know, when we're watching at home, when we're watching at home, we see how beautiful it is and the free drinks can come in and the sun and the beach and all that. But there's also an enormous amount of pressure on you guys and you're always being asked to do stuff. And I'm just wondering, is it exhausting or is it kind of fun?
Oh, I mean, I had fun the entire time. And I think something that was really unique for us this season was that, you know, most of the girls knew each other. We're all, for the most part, from the same season. And I feel like a lot of us knew people after the show, too. Like, our whole Bachelor family and the guys are familiar with each other. So it was definitely a lot of fun.
It would seem that Paradise is more fun, more enjoyable to be part of than Bachelor or Bachelorette, which seems to be a little bit more high pressure, right?
It's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. One's a serious love show, the other one's a comedic love show.
And when you say serious love show, they keep throwing around you're there for the right reasons. I mean, it's to be on TV, right? Mm-hmm.
Kevin's about to poop on love.
No, that's the right reason.
I want to give you a warning that Kevin is a doubter when it comes to the Bachelor and Bachelorette. I'm a true believer. He's a doubter.
I watched the show, but I don't think that you're there for love.
You know what? The first show I went on, yes, I was.
You were? Okay.
I didn't realize that my whole world would be flipped upside down via social media afterwards.
Right.
I knew it would be different, but I didn't know to the extent that it's come to.
Tell us about that. I want to hear about that, Robbie.
Make people go on Million Dollar Matchmaker afterwards or do something like that.
To keep pursuing that life because your life becomes that after you're on the show? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you can get used to it. I mean, I know that for me personally, after The Bachelorette, there was a wave that lasted a solid year.
Wow,
it could
really?
Still be going even if Paradise didn't happen. So,
and you're an Instagram influencer now. That's your career,
that
right?
That is my
That's
career.
What you do.
Mom and Dad love that.
All those proud they must be.
The 4 degrees that they paid for.
Yes.
So when your life becomes Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise and Instagram, I guess that is there's sort of a surreal quality to that lifestyle then, right?
It's I don't think it's so much surreal. I think it's just, you know, you've been blessed with this opportunity, take it by the horns and run with it. Less than 1% of the world gets this opportunity.
But you did graduate from Florida State, right? With
Florida
at
State.
Least 2 degrees.
Yeah, with three.
Three degrees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which are what?
I have a double major in finance and real estate and a minor in Spanish.
No wonder your parents are disappointed in you.
And then a master's in finance in Miami.
Oh my gosh.
Now, you majored in finance.
But I mean, there's still finance stuff going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
I have a firm that I started
with.
Like,
you balance your checkbook and stuff.
Yes.
Totally. I hear you.
But you had to minor in hair.
You had to take a couple classes
in hair at the ladies, Robbie, right?
At the Avita Institute.
And it breaks my heart. Robbie comes in here and he's wearing a baseball
Thank
hat.
Thank you. All I'm hearing before you come in is this magical hair that I've never seen. So then you come in a hat. This is some BS.
You got to show them the hair.
Yeah, I always wear hats.
Take the hat off.
Now it's going to become a thing because I'm asking, like, is it all right for a hat? They're like, hell no, your hair's a thing now. I'm like, all right.
Take the hat off. All right, there you go. There's the hair.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's a lot,
got
of it
a lot of hair.
There.
There's a ton of it.
Yeah.
Is that why you do the swoop, or is there a name for the thing that you do usually with
there's
it?
Getting it out of my face. Like, if I were to pull it all the way down, it's down way down past my chin. Like,
doesn't it drive you crazy?
I mean, it's up there. I always had it short in college because I was a swimmer, so I had to keep it all in the cap.
Right.
So I'm just having fun with it.
Well, it has taken on its own personality now.
It's got a couple of its own account pages now.
Your hair is also an influencer.
Yes.
On Instagram, I think.
Yes,
absolutely.
We are speaking with Robbie and Danielle from the current season of Bachelor in Paradise, two nights a week on ABC. Danielle, I want to get your honest assessment. You obviously watch all of the incantations of this of the franchise. So you were familiar with everybody that was in the available pool for you to date when you got to the BIP, right?
Well, I actually started watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette on Ben's season. And so I didn't know all the potential suitors that there could have been. Yeah, there's a couple of people that were new. So really when thinking of options, it was who I knew of from JoJo's season and who I knew of from Rachel's season. And to be honest, going into Paradise, we had really only seen 2 episodes of Rachel's season of The Bachelorette. Yeah. So you didn't get to see that much in terms of their personality or how their roles played out on the show. So it was pretty open-ended for me.
Do they give you guys a heads up when you're going into Bachelor in Paradise about who else will be attending? Or is it always a surprise when those people walk down the stairs?
You have ideas.
Yeah.
You know, there's pre-Paradise interviews where they're like, how would you feel if so-and-so walked down
the stairs? Oh, I got you.
Like, give me one word when I say this name. And then they go through a cast like of names, so they get ideas of who they might pair up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And Danielle, because you were on the wait list, we have not seen your appearance on the show yet.
It's epic.
No.
It's epic.
It's epic.
Yeah. Is it?
It's great.
It is, yeah.
Well,
I'll be making
like
a grand appearance.
Some waves there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the term that they used when I was going into my opening day was, wear something that says Mrs. Steal Your Man.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Just to give you guys a prelude.
From the coming attractions, it seems like D-Lo. They keep mentioning that name as if it's a tropical storm coming.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And it's so funny how people refer to me as D-Lo now.
I get asked that all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, why D-Lo? I'm like, technically, it's because we had another Danielle there already.
Yes.
Danielle M is there.
Oh,
and
sure.
So we just,
right.
It was easier than having two Danielles to do D-Lo, but she's always been D-Lo.
I've always been D-Lo. I mean, back in the mansion on Nick's season, everyone in the house called me D-Lo, but for formality reasons, they always had to refer to me on camera as Danielle L. So it's really funny by Paradise. They're like, you know, Paradise is a whole different ball game, way more casual. We'll just call her D-Lo.
Yeah.
Like on the paper I saw for roll call, my name was actually like listed as D-Lo.
Wow.
After Nick's season.
All right, hold on. Robbie and Danielle are here. We need to take a break.
No!
We'll take a break.
I have questions.
I know. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll continue.
All right. All right.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
We have a couple of delightful people in our studio right now. Robbie and Danielle, contestants on this season of Bachelor in Paradise, Monday and Tuesday nights on ABC. We couldn't get them to say a bad word about any of their fellow cast members during the song there, Ralph.
We did try.
You know how people say, oh, it's always the editing? I think it might be the editing. It's starting to dawn on me. Maybe some of these people look bad because they're edited that way.
Here's the thing, though. You do sort of watch people on TV and you feel like they're just weirdos, but you guys are the nicest, most normal people in the world.
It's a rigorous casting process.
Is it?
Turn Danielle's mic on.
Sorry, Danielle.
There we
That's
go.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't feel special.
Yeah, that's true.
We've all been victims of Kevin.
Let me ask you a question. After you've been on a season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Bachelor in Paradise, does it change your real-life social interaction forever? Can you ever go on a normal date again? Can you ever meet someone outside of that world? Or are you pretty much... now that becomes your social circle? Because I know you guys kind of hang a lot even after and in between seasons. There's sort of a family of contestants that hang together, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree to a certain point. I feel like we all went through a similar experience, and it's really hard for people outside of that to really understand what we went through. So we kind of form this little Bachelor family, and we're all supportive of each other. But in terms of dating and having a normal life, I think it is kind of difficult. Like, people become so invested in you, and yeah, they want to know, like, what you're doing and where you're going and who you're hanging out with. So I think it definitely becomes harder to have a normal date or just to go out.
I think you'd agree as well, since I'm kind of new to L.A., but especially in L.A. It's hard. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, there's a celebrity culture.
This is going to sound cliche, but finding out who's on that date with you for the right reasons, right?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Are they here to get more followers? Yeah. Do they actually want to get to know the real Robbie, you know?
Yeah.
And Robbie's beard.
Robbie's 12 abs.
It's 12 abs. Yeah, how many abs do you have? 12, 13, 14?
Is it possible to have 12?
You got more.
I don't think it's possible to have 12.
I don't think so either.
I'm not sure. Okay.
If I have 12, I'll donate six.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. That's cool.
There you go.
The show last night, as previous BIPs have done as well, opened up with a wedding of former contestants. When you guys agreed to be on Bachelor in Paradise, was that your hope that you would meet the person that you would marry, or do you just go down there hoping to get laid?
Or are you just going to have fun?
Can it be both or all three?
I guess it could be, yeah.
I did not go down to get laid. I actually promised my mom one thing, and that was not to share a bed. Because I had already done that once on national television, so I can tell you now, I obeyed that.
The first show, the first time around, you had to.
How upset
was your mom?
She wasn't. My grandma was more upset.
Your grandma was upset. Did she have words with you?
Grandma Hayes was not happy. She left me a few crying voicemails.
She was crying?
Because you were a virgin before grandma the show?
She watches with her Bunko crowd every night. So it's like,
that's
great.
How about you, Daniel? Were you looking to get married? Was that why you agreed to be on The Bachelor in Paradise?
I think my mindset going into Bachelor in Paradise was that I was open to the idea of finding love on the show, but I knew in the end, like, I probably wasn't going to get engaged. I think for me, it just takes a lot longer to get to know the person. And
I think for everyone, that's
true. And you have to see how your relationship will last in the real world. Like, everything's nice in paradise, mm-hmm, but it's not the same situation when you leave.
Yeah, it's summer camp for grown-ups, right? Yeah.
So you hope that you meet someone and you have this great connection and that you can explore things afterwards. That was my mindset.
How about when you went on Nick's season? Were you looking more for a romantic connection in that format because it lends itself more to that sort of serious nature of it? Or was that another just sort of adventure for you?
Well, my situation with The Bachelor was really unique. I actually was casted, I want to say, like 3 weeks before the show started filming. I was the last one added on.
Wow.
So my process was a lot different. I actually went to Iceland for 10 days, came back 2 days later, I was on the show.
Wow.
So I think I just went into that situation open-minded. I mean, it's a lot different. There's only one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew if night one I didn't have a connection, I was okay to go home.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
This event, by the way, that's happening on Monday night at the TCL Chinese Theater.
TCL.
Are you guys involved in this at all? This TCL. Did I say it wrong?
No.
Are you guys involved in this at all, this Bachelor in Paradise viewing party?
Yeah, we'll be there, and that's when I make my wonderful debut on television.
Ah,
so that'll be fun.
Good.
You get to show up in front of a crowd as well as being on television.
Yeah, there I am saying, let's join this orgy over here.
What's up with you and attorney Jack Stone in the pool there at that moment? What's going on?
Oh, you guys will find out, but it essentially all sparked from a rumor, and we were like, you know what, Jack Stone is our friend. We got to get to the bottom of this. Like, let's find out what's going on.
Oh,
and you guys will get to see that.
All right, we'll find out.
Are you guys able to call him Jack and not Jack Stone?
No.
Not at all,
Jack
right?
Stone.
Not
Jack
always Jack Stone. Like, it's
really,
hard.
It just comes out.
Yeah. Same with Ben Z. It's always Ben Z.
We will find out on there. Monday night, and if you'd like to be there in the room to see it with Danielle as she talks orgy for Bachelor in Paradise viewing party at the TCL Chinese Theater, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 to win that pair of tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, before I go, my last question, because we're almost out of time here, is would either of you guys hire attorney Jack Stone if you were in actual legal trouble?
110%.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Jack Stone. Stone.
He's the man.
Well, we always watch the show. Ralph is the one that got us onto it.
I've been obsessed for a long time.
He does a recap the day after every time, so we're happy to have you guys in, and we appreciate you stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame, and it's like stupid, and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Radio.com.
Hey, a quick reminder, SoCal Hot Topic locations have the brand new K-Rock sticker. It's pretty cool looking, by the way. And it's worth picking up at any location near you and filling out the get the password on the back and put it out to krock.com and register to win a whole bunch of cool stuff, including a private Green Day concert in your garage and front row tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl. Get all those details at krock.com. Very excited about our next guest, Kevin. I can't believe we've never had Mr. Barris on before. But listen to this. Wrote the last Barbershop movie, co-creator of America's Next Top Model, wrote the Girls Trip movie that's in theaters right now, and created a little show that I like to call Blackish on ABC TV. How about all of that from one dude?
That's not bad. I mean,
I would say that Kenya is making a contribution to the world in a very good way. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What up, man? How's it going?
It's going great. Congratulations. I can't even imagine how busy a guy you are with all these hats that you're wearing right now.
I've been pretty busy, and I'm actually on my way to drop my oldest daughter off to college for her first day of college.
So kidding.
Wow.
Well, look at that. You've got like you've got like 35 kids, right, Kenya?
I have 33 kids. I have 6 kids, yeah.
Kenya, I don't mean to tell you something you don't know, but as the only girl in my family and my dad dropping me off at college, you're going to sob. You're going to cry like you've never cried before.
Are you a mess right now?
I'm full of nerves. I live in LA and she's going to USC, so it's not
okay. That's not as bad.
But I do feel like we were talking about, her room's going to be empty, and my wife and her started crying. She's like, she'll never live at home again, and so stuff like that came up that I hadn't thought about. So it's interesting.
There is so much from your life, as I understand it. It seems to be an endless resource of storylines for the family on Black-ish. Are you close to running out, or do you still have a bunch of stories to tell from your own experiences, Kenya?
I think there's a lot of stuff to still talk about. I think, you know, one, just like literally dropping my daughter off today, like, so I steal so much of their life during the show. But then, you know, one of the sort of secret powers of the show that we did not anticipate, but it sort of, you know, goes back to I love Norman Lear and stuff like that, is that we kind of get to talk about things going on the family would normally be talking about. And there's just so many things, fortunately and unfortunately, that are happening in the world today that a family would actually talk about. So, you know, we try to in some way, shape, or form do that in a way that makes people actually feel more comfortable instead of less comfortable, and more inclusive instead of less inclusive, and at the same time make them laugh.
Yeah, it's you don't hesitate to take on any serious issue.
We try not to, but we try not to do it. We're not Law and Order. Like, we're not trying to, like, be reactive and rip stuff off the headlines. But, you know, the interesting thing about a family is the place that you actually do talk about stuff. So it feels organic for them to talk about things that are going on in the world, and not to, like, we're forcing it down people's throat or becoming like some type of political show.
Yeah, and it's definitely not that, and it's always coming from a place of love and understanding, it's such a beautifully written and acted show. And I wonder sometimes when I watch it, do you think, Kenya, and I don't know how you would know this, but I wonder how many families are talking to their kids as young as the kids on this show are about what's going on in the news, and how many of them do you think just say, well, that's grown-up talk, they don't need to know about it?
I don't know, but you know what's crazy? Like, when I'm a few times, like, I'll be with Anthony or I'll be with Tracy, or people might recognize me. The people that come up to me are the most Benetton commercial group of people I've ever seen. Like, they are, it is, you know, literally people from, you know, Iran, from, you know, Pakistan, from Africa, from China, from Japan, you know, black people, white people. And I feel like they say to me in a way that they almost, first there's the moment where they're like, they don't mean to, they're like, your show is really good. Like, they're surprised. Like, I mean, the mouths sync up and the colors are there. And, you know.
Kenya, there are a lot of shows that come on and they tout that they're going to be the best thing in the world, and they're gone after 2 episodes.
No, I totally get it. But the thing that they say after that, they say, it made me understand my family and be able to speak to my family about something I had thought about, but I was afraid to talk about. Mm. And that's the greatest gift. You
know? That has to be so satisfying.
Yeah, not only satisfying, but that's a lot of pressure, too.
It is, but it also makes all of our writers in the room feel like, you know, we love coming to work, and, like, all the writers, like, bring their real stories and their real lives, because the world is so split up right now, and it's so stupid because ultimately we're at our best as, in this country when we kind of realize the lasagna that all of us are makes the best meal.
Right.
And I kind of feel like we keep, you know, not wanting to talk about things. And people, in my experience, I have found that people innately are not bad or racist or this or that. People sometimes just don't know. And sometimes when you have conversations that make people feel more comfortable about asking questions or talking, saying things. One of my best friends is white, and he was, you know, talking to me, and I was going to get a haircut. He's like, "But you just got a haircut last week." I was like, "Yeah, dude, I get my haircut every week." I was like, "How do you think it stays as short?" I was like, "Did you think my hair just stayed like this?" And I was like, "How often do you get your hair cut?" He's like, "I get my hair cut every 3 or 4 months." I was like, "You get your hair cut every 3 or 4 months?"
This is the voice of Kenya Barris here on the Kevin and Bean Show, creator and executive producer of Black-ish, which, by the way, is on a new night next season for season 4. The premiere is October 3rd. It's going to be on Tuesday nights. I have to ask you, Kenya, because we happen to be talking to you this week. When you're watching, like, the news out of Charlottesville this week, and of course you're watching it as an American, as a citizen, but you're also, I imagine, the little wheels are turning in your head and you're thinking, well, this is going to be somewhere in season 4. We're going to have to tackle white supremacy, right?
You know what? I've been asked that a lot this week. Maybe. I don't want to force it. But you know the thing? Yes, I don't want to. I want to find an organic way where it comes up, where it doesn't feel like a story, where it feels like something that we organically, like, found to really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that sort of scared me about it was this idiot ran the car in and you know, just, you know, killed a young girl. And if he had not done that, I don't know if we would have heard about this rally.
Yeah.
This protest.
Wow. Yeah, that's possible.
And I feel like when you, taking that horrible incident aside, when you saw the footage and the imagery from the rally, it was awful.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this really heinous thing hadn't happened, I don't know if it would have been a national issue. And what that said to me is that maybe this is going on all around our country every day, but cars aren't getting ran into people.
Yeah.
On tape.
Yeah, that's a very sobering thought.
That's the country that I'm sending my daughter off to school in and all this.
Right.
Well, you are in a unique position to address something like that because you actually have Thomas Jefferson from Hamilton in your cast. So who better to address what happened in Charlottesville?
Stupid.
I agree. We enjoy having those things. I would say that our premiere this year is my most exciting premiere. It's based around a really interesting thing, but we did like a Broadway-esque performance. And that you since you brought up David, and it came out better than I could have ever imagined, and I think it's going to be really fun.
But you're going to make us wait till October 3rd?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Can you move that up?
No, I mean, I would love to have it moved up, you know, but it'll give you something on October 3rd to watch. But I really, and I've never said this before, it is arguably the best sort of version of what our show can do.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we will be looking forward to that Tuesday nights on ABC, season 4 of Black-ish. Kenya, we're big fans of your work. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, and congratulations on sending your little one off to college, man. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again another time.
Thanks so much. We got to have you guys on, man. I would love that. To come do a cameo.
Oh, I don't think you want us to ruin your good show.
You've seen us.
I mean, really. You've got a good thing going. Let's not ruin it.
Let's not whitish it up. Thanks, Kenya.
Thank you.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LANOC's alternative rock. KROQ.
We're going to have to save this for tomorrow. We don't have time here, Ralph. But are you aware of what's going on in the room here?
I am not. I just walked in.
Good.
You know me. I try to time it so that the microphone is going on as I come through the door because it just saves me so much blood pressure medicine that way. Yes.
Kevin, what was the announcement you made to the room about 5 minutes ago here
in
the studio?
That I had my sweat jacket on inside out all day.
Mm-hmm. Was anyone surprised?
They were all surprised that I called it a sweat jacket.
Well, that's the beginning. That's the furthest thing from my mind when it comes to your problem.
That was my point. Then they all started saying, it's not a sweat jacket. Why do
it's
you say
it's not a sweat jacket?
And I said, I don't know. I've always called it a sweat jacket. It has a zipper. It's a hoodie.
It's a hoodie.
I always called it a sweat jacket.
Hoodie,
it's
zip up.
It's a sweatshirt or it's a hoodie. It's not a sweat jacket.
Okay,
but the point is
I grew up with sweat jackets. You put on your sweat jacket.
Okay.
So you've heard sweat jacket.
All my entire life.
Chip, nor I had ever heard of it.
Nor have I. I've never heard that used by
sweatshirt you pull over your head. Sweat jacket has a zipper on it.
Right.
It's a hoodie.
Or it's a zip up.
Both. By the way, hoodie is about 10 years old. The reference to the hoodie.
They still call them hoodies.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They still call them hoodies, but it's not. That's a relatively modern phrase.
I love that we're all arguing over this and we're ignoring the fact that I wore it inside out all day.
Well, no one is stunned
by
that.
It's still inside out.
No,
it is still inside
out. Your tag is right there, Kevin.
I mean, it feels pretty good, so I'm just going to...
But no one can be surprised by that part of it.
I'm going to go with it.
But absolutely sweat jacket.
Sweat jacket. That's what I said.
I don't know.
My entire youth. That's all we referred to it as a sweat jacket.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Why? Well, it's not about you liking it or not.
Then Bean looked it up online and said, oh, yeah, it's a thing, but I still am not accepting it.
It's been a thing my whole life.
Right.
It's not a thing.
Maybe it's geography based.
No, yeah, Kevin's from Arizona. I'm from the East Coast.
It's Philly and Arizona. That's where they say it. Yeah.
Yep. Phoenix very specific. And Philly. It's just the PHF sound.
Thank
cities.
You.
Is that what
Thank
it is?
You.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's save this for tomorrow and maybe
save what?
There's nothing to save. It's a thing.
It's not a thing. I'm telling you, it's not a thing. And I'm telling you, there's something weird going on with you agreeing with him just to be contrary. That's
I'm not being contrary. A sweat jacket was what I put on when they got chilly in Philadelphia. You put on your sweat jacket before you go out.
It's a hoodie with a zipper. That's what it is.
It's a zip up.
It's not a zip up.
Who's ever
called her zip up?
Who's ever heard of zip up?
Put on your zip up.
A sandwich bag is a zip up.
That's a Ziploc.
All right, let's shelve it for now, you guys, but we're not done
with
this.
We're not shelving anything.
Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin DeBean show. What's going on?
Sweat jacket.
Right?
What would you call a jacket made out of sweatshirt material?
Right?
I'm telling you, it's a hoodie.
Yes, it is as well.
What do you call things you put on your legs that are made out of sweatshirt material?
Ooh, sweatpants.
Right. You don't call them leggies. Oh, they're sackies.
Well, they're sweatpants. That's what they've always been called.
Right. Sweatpants, sweat jacket.
No.
Right.
But it's not jacket because it's not substantial. A jacket's substantial.
There's no weight requirement to a jacket.
There is. A lot of people don't know that. Very specific.
You can have a down jacket or you can have a windbreaker. They're both jackets.
I don't consider a windbreaker a jacket. Do you?
This is what I'm saying. There's a lot of angles to this that we're going to have to see.
I am so calling in sick tomorrow.
I just love that me wearing it inside out is a surprise to no one.
Well,
no, that's not the part we
focused
on.
But I'm saying all day.
Yeah.
All day, Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If
you're wearing your pants inside out all day, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
And by the way, we don't, but if we checked, I bet Kevin wears socks that don't match most days, too, wouldn't you?
No, I think he's very particular when it comes to underwear and socks.
Oh.
I think Kevin has a specific clothing fetish.
I do. I find something that I love, and I buy like 50 of them, and then I don't shop again for 10 years.
Right. I don't think he has any different socks. I think there's just only one sock style that he owns.
That's correct. Thank you for knowing that, Ralph.
You're very welcome, Kevin. In your sweat jacket. A handsome sweat jacket it is, too.
Thank you, sir.
While we're talking about dummies, did you guys get the email?
Yes. Oh, the car?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Someone, please be known that it's a parked car with just the trunk open. The trunk is open. If your trunk is open, please check your car and see if your trunk is open. Who do you think that belonged to?
Janky.
I had no idea why my trunk would be open. I guess I should go close it.
Muggs, why is your trunk open?
I have a perfectly good explanation.
Okay.
Is it a sweat trunk?
When I go on breakfast runs, I put all the food in my trunk, and the whatever it is, it stinks up my car. Mm-hmm. So I let the trunk air out. So I let it air out. Okay. So my car doesn't smell like stale food.
Where are you guys going for
That's
food
what
in
I'm
the morning?
Saying. Why does our food stink so much just in your car?
We just went to Subway today. It
doesn't smell bad. Subway smells good.
No, it smells good, but it's like fresh out of the oven. And if you don't air out your car, it's going to start smelling stale. So that's why
I
air it out.
That makes sense. No. Really? Eat fresh makes your trunk
smell like stale.
It does.
Okay.
It
just,
the problem is that Muggs gets high and then he smells that food smell and then he has to
eat
something.
That's what it is.
Precisely.
By the way, who puts to-go food in their trunk, by the way?
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that at all.
I've never done that once.
It's always the passenger seat. That's where food goes.
Yeah, what's happening? Why?
Because I don't want to smell up my car with food.
But
your car is so freaking magical?
Yes.
Do you unwrap it all?
No.
You rub it on the upholstery? What's happening? How hermetically sealed is your car?
I got a new car, and it still has the new car smell. And I don't want that to leave.
Muggs gets a new car every 3 months. Have you guys noticed?
I'm not sure how.
He's very got bizarre.
Some shaky car buying processes, that's for sure. Sometimes he owns like three new cars.
Yep.
Sometimes he has no cars.
Remember he got that Uber car and then he stopped driving Uber?
It's going to pay for itself with my Uber work.
And then he stopped doing that the first day.
Oh, I'm upside down in my car, but I'm going to sell it to a sheik. He sent me an email. There's a Nigerian prince who's going to buy my car. Oh, I told him my car, but it's the lemon law. I'm getting two new cars for one old car. It's got a lot of car schemes.
Oh. That's how you get it done.
All right.
You go back out. Kids.
Oh, this place is the worst.
All right,
right.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, why bother?
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us. It must. James Bond, License to Kill. Killed it on the Stephen Colbert show last night. When Daniel Craig showed up, Stephen Colbert asked him, hey, I know you're here to promote your Lucky Logan movie with Steven Soderbergh, but remember that other guy you also play from time to time? That British guy with the shaken, not stirred? You know him. What are you going to do with that?
Well, Daniel Craig, we could use some good news here. Daniel Craig, will you return as James Bond?
Yes.
There you go. It's settled. It's awesome. If you watch the interview, by the way, Colbert completely calls him out on that. I'll slip my wrist before I play it again.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was awesome. And Daniel Craig got very embarrassed and blushed.
Did
when he got brought it when he brought it up? Yeah.
And he didn't get angry?
No, he was embarrassed by it. And he said, you know what? I had just finished the last James Bond 2 days before that interview. And I was burnt out, and I had had an ass full, and I was beat up. I was physically feeling bad, and someone asked me, and I just, instead of saying something graceful, he said, I just said something stupid.
It's weird that a star that large would be so honest.
I get the sense he's a pretty down-to-earth guy who doesn't really come up with canned answers to stuff. He's probably pretty plays his heart on his sleeve, kind of.
That's pretty cool.
So he apologized for that comment and said, yeah, he was coming back. So nice to see a true broadcaster get that information.
I mean, information we all got yesterday when he was on this show as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, I missed that part of the interview.
I think so.
I had him say naked. So that was cool. Yeah.
That was newsworthy.
Yeah.
And from License to Kill to License to Drive. How about that for a segue?
I'm not positive. Continue.
Don't you remember License to Drive?
The two Corys.
The Corys.
Yeah.
The classic Corys movie from 1988.
Okay.
Well, good news. It's being remade.
Sequel of.
But this time, it's an all-female remake of License to Drive.
Women don't drive.
Can you imagine? Two girls sneaking out in their grandfather's prized 1972 Cadillac sedan?
Huh.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I don't really remember much about that movie.
I don't either.
You don't remember License to Drive?
I don't either.
Oh,
I remember it was the two Corys, and then it was...
It's craptastic. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand how casting women in it is going to save it. But
it doesn't sound like the kind of storyline that has enough unique about it to make it worth redoing.
No. No, it's bad. Oh, by the way, they're also remaking Superbad with a female version.
From like 15 years ago.
This movie will be that, basically, is what they're saying. This License to Drive basically will be sort of a super bad with women. That's what they're shooting for.
Oh, I see.
Two girls will be out on the town and encounter crazy, crazy escapades.
Well, it depends on who's playing it and who writes it.
Yeah. Just saying. You could just write that. You wouldn't need to base it on License to Drive.
Yeah.
Why put that? Why taint it?
I'm not positive.
Why taint?
He said.
Why taint? I say.
He keeps saying.
I always say taint.
Says taint too often.
Taint. Why taint?
Taint wars.
Don't so much taint.
Don't taint it.
Say less taint.
All just taint.
Let's not taint it.
Taint so wars.
Gotta
taint.
Let my car air out because of all the taint.
Oh.
That sometimes was so weird. I have to go out and get taint. Oh. Beer Mug should worry less about how his car smells and more about how he smells.
Dude, this is a new level for the Mugs. This is a mess.
Maybe it's him being in his car that makes the car
smell.
Makes
it smell?
What if he's smelling himself?
I'm going to die soon.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Going for the butt.
TV's Catwoman from the Batman TV show, Julie Newmar, celebrates her birthday today, as does Kathy Lee Gifford. 64 years old. James Cameron is 63. Madonna is 59 years old. Timothy Hutton turns 57. And Steve Carell.
My philosophy is
basically this. And this is something that I live by. And I always have. And I always will. Don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone, mm-hmm. for any reason, ever, no matter what, no matter where or who you are with or,
right.
or where you are going mm-hmm. Or where you've been,
okay.
ever,
ever,
for any reason whatsoever.
Okay, it's okay. good advice.
That's a good reason. He's 55 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Yes, Muggs.
Today is stop 3 of 12 of the K-Rock Hot Topic sticker campaign, and I'm going to be at the Topanga, the Westfield Topanga Mall.
Just look for the car with the trunk open.
Yeah.
Those stickers really smell up my car. I got to air it out.
6600 Topanga Canyon Boulevard. Of course, you get the new K-Rock sticker, enter to win the grand prize to have Green Day play your garage, a brand new Honda Civic, which you should not put food in, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. And front row seats to their show September 16th.
Huge.
And okay. other and like every concert ticket known to man, we're going to have. Great turnout so far.
The Grateful Dead from 20 years
yeah.
ago.
No, I think you not might have oversold that.
Beatles yeah. at Shea Stadium.
Not those. No. Well, yes, yeah, Smash Mouth.
All right, thank you, Muggs.
Archers of Loaf. No.
No. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealer handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have the host of Big Brother, Julie Chen. We talk sports with Jim Rome. We've got Dr. Drew. And Bean continues to whip us into a needless frenzy over eclipse fever.
Eclipse.
Tell you something, sweat jacket's a lot more of a thing than eclipse fever is.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.